Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be with you today. I can tell you that I am excited to be here this morning to share with you what God is doing on the campus of Fresno Avist Academy. I will be honest with you and candid with you this morning. This time last year, or even 6-7 months ago, never in my wildest dreams did I ever imagine that I would be living in Fresno, California. Just being completely candid with you. Born in Atlanta, Georgia, lived in the South most of my life, and we were living in Collegedale, Tennessee. My kids were enjoying the schools there, and we thought that everything was just great, that we were living out God's plan there for us in Collegedale. But you know what? Sometimes God knocks you upside the head sometimes. And after much prayer, with my wife, and through many times where we saw that God was unmistakably calling our family to come out to California, we're here, and we're excited to be here, excited to see what God is going to do on the campus of Fresno Avist Academy. I want to take just a few minutes and share with you some of the things that are happening right now on our campus. We've started school, and we've finished our first 2 weeks. And I will share with you that we have 187 students, and potentially for two or three, four more even for next week. So we'll see where God leads in that. But there are some things that are going on the campus that I want to share with you about that excite me. And one of those is before school started, for the first week of school, we invited parents, pastors, students, to come together each morning at 7 o'clock, from 7 to 7:30, and to pray for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Because I will share with you today from my heart that I believe that it is only when we as teachers, as leaders, as parents are on our knees, and as we are begging for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that we're going to do anything at Fresno Avist Academy that's going to bring God honor and glory. We have to start there. So it was exciting to see what God did as we came together in a small group and as we prayed for the outpouring of His Holy Spirit. Also, I want to share with you, on our campus this year, we are going to be initiating a program that is called Classroom Chaplains. And what we will be doing is we will be inviting parents, grandparents, mentors, who would like to come into the classroom on a regular basis, a weekly basis, for 20 to 30 minutes, and to share a worship thought, to pray with the students, to bond with them. We're going to be inviting parents to do that. So if that's on your heart, if you say, you know what, I have some time, I would like to do that, we would invite you to contact the school. We have just had our first parent-teacher club meeting, and we've elected an individual that will be coordinating all of our classroom chaplains for this year. And so even if you may have, say, you know, I can't do it for every week, but I might do it every other week, you can tag team with somebody. I will share with you an experience. In Collegedale, an individual made a commitment, and he said, I'm going to start from kindergarten, and for 9 straight years, every week, he went into a class, prayed with them as a religion teacher at Southern Adventist University. And when they got to their 8th grade year, guess who was their 8th grade speaker? It was their classroom chaplain, an individual who they bonded with, who they met with, and prayed together with. And I've shared with our staff, and I've shared with parents that I've been able to talk to, I truly believe that our school is only as strong as our connection with our parents and our grandparents. And so what better way than to invite them into the classroom to meet with our students, to pray together? So that's an initiative we'll be launching this year at Fresno Avist Academy. Also this year, we're going to be having a bells program again. We're going to have a bell choir, and we're going to be going out and visiting the different churches. And we're going to be also, I don't know if you've heard or not, but we have the beginning process of a guidance center. I truly believe that we need to offer our students career counseling. We need to offer them ways where they can look at what they need to do for college and what they need to do as they leave the school, and also offer students help with testing and help with maybe they're struggling in their schoolwork or things of that nature. So in the library, the office that was the previous principal's office, we're going to be converting that into a career counseling center in the coming weeks and months ahead. And I'm excited to see what God is going to do with that. I also want to share that I only believe that if we, as a school, have this wonderful school that is doing amazing things academically, that is growing kids, that is working with our churches, and we're doing all this wonderful nurturing, if that is all we're doing, then we're missing, I believe, one of the main things that Jesus Christ has called us to do. And so as I've shared with faculty and I've shared with students, we are going to be intentional about reaching out into our local community. And we're going to be intentional about serving our local community. And so we have established a group of students along with faculty, and I'm inviting any parent who would like to come to join us, a spiritual life committee that will be looking at everything we're doing on our campus spiritually. What are we doing? And we're going to be setting up a master plan of how we can integrate the school, the churches, the homes to come together collectively to reach the local community where the school is located for Jesus Christ. Be it through health fairs, be it through taking students to Big Brother, Big Sister, whatever it is, we want to be intentional about doing that on a regular basis. And so you'll be hearing more about that. I truly believe that is one of the main things that Christ has called us to do. There are many students on our campus here this year that are only there because there are individuals in churches, in homes, that have stepped up and have said, you know what? I don't have a kid there anymore. I don't have a grandkid there, but I will help. I will help you because I realize that God has blessed me to do so. And I want to thank you as a church for what you are doing for students that are there at Fresno Baptist Academy this year. We still have 3 or 4 students from this church who are there, who are needing help, needing support. And so if God puts on your heart and says, you know what, I'd like to step up, I would encourage you, talk to your church, talk to your pastor, contact the school. See how you can become involved, because it is only when we, as a church and as a school, partner together, we're able to provide the education for these students. There are so many kids, so many families that are hurting right now, and it's only when we can come together and help them by partnering together that we're going to be successful in that. You knew before I talked that I was going to share with you about Fresno Adventist Academy, so I hope you don't mind me taking a few minutes here, because I'm excited. I'm just excited about what God is doing on this campus this year. There are many challenges. I realize that. There are so many challenges. And if you look at the challenges, you could become just say, you know what? It's just overwhelming. There's too much challenges. But you know what? We serve a great God. We serve a big God. And we serve a God that will supply every one of our needs. I firmly believe that. This year, I'm excited to tell you as well, when you call our campus, you will get a live person. We have a completely new phone system. The old phone system we had was 35 or 40 years old. And I will tell you, when I interviewed for this position, I was back in Tennessee, and I tried to call the school, and I could not get through. And I tried, and I tried, and I was like, what's going on? I can't even get through the school. And then I found out about the phone system and how archaic it was. And so I shared with them, I said, we've got to have a new phone system. We have to. And so I'm pleased to tell you that that's been implemented. And so hopefully every time you call our school, you'll be able to reach a live person in the office to be directed to where they're going to go. Before we begin diving into God's word this morning, if we could bow our heads and let's ask the Holy Spirit to be present. Father in heaven, Lord, I want to thank you. I want to praise your name this morning for what you're doing in each of our lives, Father. I ask, Father, that you would now remove anything from this place, Father, that would be a distraction. Father, I just ask that your Holy Spirit will fill this room. Speak through me, Father. In your name I pray. Amen. I have a question for you. How many here like campfires? Probably not right now. I can tell you it's been crazy hot. But in the fall, I love a campfire. I love sitting beside a campfire, roasting hot dogs, roasting marshmallows. I'm not a huge marshmallow guy, but my kids are. And I would tell you just a quick side note. They were just the other night, they were playing this game called Chubby Bunny, where you take as many marshmallows as you can and you stick them in your mouth and you keep trying to keep putting another one in there and you keep having to say Chubby Bunny. And you know, you have to, my son videoed it and you have to see it sometime. It was hilarious. But I love campfires. I love it. But something I love even more than a campfire is a bonfire. I love a roaring bonfire, a massive bonfire. And we, about 3 years ago, we had moved into a new property in college. Well, it's actually in Cleveland, Tennessee, about 15 minutes from Collegedale. And we had 8 acres. And we had a big field where we had moved into. And it was in the middle of winter. And we moved there. And there was a lot of brush and a lot of debris that was piled up in the middle of the field. And it was a Saturday evening. And I told my son, I said, Blake, let's go down and we're going to launch and we're going to have a bonfire. And so he said, okay. So what better way, I thought, to start a bonfire than to have a little bit of gasoline. So I get in our garage and I take a big old container of gasoline and I go down to the middle of this field. And Blake is there with me. He's sitting right over here. And I go and I'm just dousing this big, I mean, it's a big old thing of wood, just going around dousing it. And I take a match and I strike it and I go just like this and then whoosh, just like that. This fire goes straight up in the air, but then at the same time it goes out. And so we're sitting there and I have been in this field where it's in the winter there, it's just dry and you have these grass is about this tall that's just bone dry. And so this fire comes out, and it's like this, and all of a sudden I have this ring of fire that's a lot larger than the pile of wood. And I'm running around trying to stomp it, and it's not going out. And so I tell Blake, I said, Blake, run up and get some water. Go get your mom. And I said, get out of here quick. So he is panicking, and he is running up to the house. And our house is way up on the hill. We got the field down here. And so my wife runs out and she is frantically trying to put the hoses together because our hose wouldn't reach. So she's trying to hook them together and then she gets it all the way out and it doesn't reach. And by this time, we've got a field that's completely bright orange and I am completely panicked. So I say, Trish, call 911. So she calls 911 and we're out in the country. They pick up and she's talking and the fire department says, well, go out to the end of your road and stand there and put your flashers on so we'll know where you're at. Well, she didn't have to do that because they had a big old blaze. It was like completely yellow or orange. And so we had this one little fire truck. I mean, small little thing with one guy. He pulls down into our drive. We had a half mile drive into our drive. And as he comes up there where I'm at, he hops out, gives me the hose. And then he looks, he says, we're going to need help. So he gets on and they call Chattanooga. They call Cleveland. And I'm out there with this hose. I've never held a fire, never done anything. And I'm trying to spray this fire. And by this time, I'm so fearful that it's going to go into the woods. It's going to go into back in Tennessee, it's not like here. You have very wooded. And it was dry. And I'm like, this fire is going to go out. And I was just completely panicking. I was racing. My heart was just panicked. And so pretty soon, we're out there trying to get out, and then we hear sirens, and this big, huge tanker comes in down there. And lots of guys jump out. And they, after a few minutes, were able to get the fire out in our field. Not before, it had burned my entire field. And as I am there, standing there, after the fire had gone out, the fire chief comes up, puts his arm on my shoulder, and he says, son, did you have a burn permit? And I looked there and I said, no, sir, I didn't. And he looked at me. And with grace, he said, you know what? This will be a lesson to you. Don't ever light a fire again without a burn permit. And I never did. I want to share with you, just as I believe with all of my heart that I love the fire and love the bonfire, and our field was dry, I believe we as a church are in desperate need of the fire of the Holy Spirit in our churches and in our schools today. I believe that too many of our churches and schools are dry and ripe for the biblical fire of the Holy Spirit. For too long, I, as a Seventh-day Adventist Christian, have been content with a small, nice, neat campfire when God is longing to ignite a bonfire in my life. For too long in my life, I have been content with complacency, with playing church, just being completely real with you, just going through the motions, with coming to church, with going and doing the right things, with saying the right things. But guys, this morning, I believe it's time that we stop playing church. It's time that we, as individuals and collectively as a church, get on our knees and earnestly seek the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I have a dangerous question for you this morning. A dangerous question. When the Holy Spirit ignites a fire and it starts to spread out of control, are we as a church more like the gasoline or more like the fire truck? Too often, I feel we as a church, and I don't mean the Sunnyside Adventist Church, I mean we as a global Seventh-day Adventist Church, have been very quick to pour water on fires that may be spreading outside of our comfort zone, that may spread outside of what we have grown up and what we think church should be like. Too often, we are afraid to step outside of the box for Christ. Too often, we are afraid to say, Lord, could we rethink how we're doing evangelism? Could we rethink what we're doing in this area or that area? And too often, when our youth stand up and they want to be challenging us as leaders, we are pouring fire instead of the gasoline on those little campfires that God is wanting to ignite in our youth and in our churches. What could that be like? I will share with you on a personal level. For me, we had some neighbors that, quite candidly, they were very difficult for me to go to and talk to. Extremely dirty, extremely just, it was hard. And it's easier for me to just drive by there, go to my church, worship with people who I'm comfortable with, than reaching out of my comfort zone for them, for Christ. There should be only two parameters that we look at when we are looking at ways that we can reach outside the box for Christ. And that is it in line with the Bible and the spirit of prophecy? If it's in line with those two things, we should have no holds barred. We should look at it, and we should look at ways we can reach people for Jesus Christ now. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you can, to 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 20 through 39. We read this for our scripture reading. 1 Kings chapter 18. Starting in verse 20, I'm going to go back a few verses here, and I'm going to read several verses here. Follow along with me. I'm reading the New King James Version. It's a great story. I love this story. So Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to the people and said, "How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him." But the people answered him not a word. Then Elijah said to the people, "I alone am left, a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Therefore, let them give us two bulls and let them choose one bull for themselves. Cut it in pieces and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. And I will prepare the other bull. Lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. Then you call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the Lord who answers by fire, he is God. So all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Now Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one bull for yourselves and prepare it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it. So they took the bull which was given them, and they prepared it, and called on the name of Baal from morning till evening, morning even till noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, no one answered. Then they leaped about the altar which they had made. And so it was at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is God, a God. Either he is meditating, or he is busy, or he's on a journey, or perhaps he is sleeping, he must be awakened. So they cried aloud and cut themselves, as was their custom, with knives and lances, until the blood gushed out on them. And when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. But there was no voice, no one answered, no one paid attention to them. Then Elijah said to all the people, come near to me. So all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the son of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, Israel shall be your name. Then with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench around the altar, large enough to hold 2 seahs of seed. And he put the wood in order, cut the bull in pieces, laid it on the wood, and said, fill 4 water pots with water, and pour it on the burnt offering and on the wood. Then he said, do it a second time, and they did it a second time. And he said, do it a third time, and they did it a third time. So the water ran all around the altar, and he also filled the trench with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifices that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. There's a couple of verses that I want you to pay attention to in this text that really speak to me in my own walk with Jesus Christ. If you will look here in verse 30. Then Elijah said to all the people, come near to me. So all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. In my life, for many, many years, I had established altars to many other false gods in my own walk. Things that on the surface, they were harmless. I will speak to you guys about one that I dearly love still to this day, but it's golf. I'm a passionate golfer. I love golf. And when I was in college and when I was in high school, I played on a high school golf team. I was looking to go to a college on a scholarship for golf. I love golf. But for most of my life, the altar in my life to golf was much higher than it was to Jesus Christ. Same with sports. I enjoy watching football. I love the Atlanta Falcons. I enjoy them. I know that we're not in the right territory for that. I realize that. My students have already told me that. I am in the wrong place. And that's okay. We can still be friends. Same with the Atlanta Braves. But Too long. I have built an altar to sports, to golf, to different things in my life when the altar to Jesus Christ was crumbling and it was torn down. And not until just a few years ago, about a year and a half, 2 years ago, that God called me to take a hard look at what I'm doing and take a hard look in my life and called me back to be intentional about first, my own walk with Jesus Christ, and then second, being a dad who is intentional about making sure that I am leading my kids on a discipleship journey to Him. Because at the end of the day, that's what we are called to do. As parents, as church members, as grandparents. It doesn't matter, guys. It doesn't matter if we're out there and we're saving the communities, if we're neglecting our own families in the process. And it doesn't matter. And that's our first responsibility. So I challenge you this morning. What is it in your life? What is it? Is it sports? Is it movies? Is it music? What might it be that maybe you need to take a hard look at what priorities and what place it's having in your life? And maybe it's time for the times we're in to tear down those other altars and repair the altar to the living God. God showed His power through display of physical fire in the passage we just read. I'd like us to turn to Luke 11:13. Luke chapter 11, verse 13. Jesus is speaking here. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Does it say that it's going to cost anything? What do we have to do? Ask for this gift. This is a gift that is promised to His people. And again, just being real with you, in my own walk as a Seventh-day Adventist Christian, I can tell you, I can say, yep, I know God the Father. I understand God the Father. Jesus Christ, I know what He's done for me. Praise God, what He's done for me. But too often, I've had a very nebulous understanding of this Holy Spirit. What is this? What is it that He's wanting to do? But I believe that for the times we're in, that we need more than ever to be seeking this gift that's been promised. It's been promised to us. We need to be seeking it. Turn with me again over to Acts chapter 2, verse 37 and 38. So we have this gift that He said He's going to give to us. Acts chapter 2, verse 37 and 38. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So what's the condition? So He says He's going to give it to us. There's a condition, correct? What do we must do first? We must repent. Now, I looked up repentance, and repentance means to turn away from, to turn from. So what is it in my life, as I share with you, I looked in my own life, what do I need to turn from? What am I hanging on to, clinging on to, that could cause a separation between me and God, between me receiving the full gift of the Holy Spirit? Is there anything in my life? I ask the Lord, what is it? What could it be? I challenge you this morning. Is there something in your life that maybe you've been hanging on to for maybe years and years and years? This morning, Jesus Christ will give you the power and the victory over anything it is. We can't do anything of our own, nothing of our own strength. But what God does ask of us, the one thing he asks of us, is to simply let it go. We must choose. We must choose. We must make that choice. We cannot do it of our own. He will not make that choice for us. Once we make that choice to let it go, he will come in and provide us all power that we have, all the power we need to gain victory over any area it is in our life. There's been many times, and just as recently as moving out here, just a few weeks ago, we're driving out here and driving long days in the car. Long days. Long days can sometimes lead to short tempers. And there was several times where I dropped the ball big time. And I had to go to my kids and my wife, and I had to say, guys, I'm sorry. Sorry for the way I talked to you. Sorry for the way I treated you. Sorry for the words that I said, because I got short. And God doesn't expect us as believers in him. We okay, Mike? God doesn't expect us as believers in him to go every day without making any mistake. That's the power of forgiveness. But all he asks of us is that when we do, to be willing to say, Lord, forgive me, cleanse me, and help me to turn from whatever it is in our life. We are doing some things right as a church. I believe it with all my heart. We're doing some things right. But it's easy to sit back and to look at those things we're doing right and to sit back and say, you know what? Things are going okay. Things are going good. This is a phenomenal conference. You do amazing things with evangelism here. And it would be easy on the surface to sit back and say, wow, we raised $1 million for evangelism at camp meeting. Praise God. That is unbelievable. But I would challenge us this morning to say, Lord, what is it that you are asking of me? What do I need to be doing differently in my own walk with you, for the time I'm in right now, the time we're in? Because I believe, guys, that there are things that are happening in our society right now that are happening at a dizzying rate. I was just sitting in Sabbath school this morning, and I was sharing with your Sabbath school teacher how sometimes, if we're not careful, it can almost be like the frog in the hot water syndrome. It can almost be where we sit in this lukewarm water as frogs, and you know you put the frog in there, and it's just going to sit there, and you just gradually keep turning that temperature up, and that frog just stays in there until eventually it dies. Eventually it's dead. If we step back, and I just celebrated my 40th birthday, so just had my 4th birthday in July, but if I just step back, and I had my 20th high school reunion about a year and a half ago, and I step back and I look at our society where it is now, even from when I was in high school, and you step back and you look at it, you cannot come away from without just dizzying. It is unbelievable the quickness and the speed at which our society is spiraling downward and the moral decay that we are in. We're told that as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be before the coming of the Son of Man. And I want to challenge us this morning. I want to challenge us. We can know, as Seventh-day Adventist Christians, we can know the 2300 days. We can know that the Saturday is the Sabbath. But guys, it will not save us. It will not save us. And there's no power. There is no power in any one of our doctrines. There's not. There's power in the author. And we, as Seventh-day Adventist Christians, it's time that we, myself, our school, our churches, we need to be focusing on the author of the power for the times that we're in. Because I believe that God is wanting to do some amazing things before He comes. Amazing display of His power in our schools and in our churches. But only when we as a people are completely submitted to Him. I want to share with you a story in closing. I had the privilege of serving in Palau. Palau, for those of you who don't know, I didn't know either. Palau is a tiny island about 300 miles east of the Philippines. And my wife and I, with our two kids, I had the privilege of serving as principal of Palau Mission Academy. And when I was there, one Sunday afternoon, I had an individual who had been coming to my campus, at the academy's campus. The academy had a large campus. And this individual was a local Palauan. And he had come and volunteered to help cut down brush, to help clean up the campus. And so he was coming on a regular basis to do that. And this one day, he was there cutting up piles and putting them into burn piles. And he had lit the burn pile, went and grabbed some lunch, and when he came back from lunch, the wind had blown a couple sparks, and the fire had grown out of this pile and into the leaves there and headed into the woods. Well, he was the only one on campus at the time, and he panicked. And he got in his truck, and he just left. He just left the campus. He just drove away. And about an hour later, the vice principal was there and came up, and there was massive flames coming in the trees. I mean, the fire was all through campus, all around the pastor's house was here, the principal's house was here, and it was right up next to it. So the SMs that had come back, they ran up on the roof, got a hose, and were trying to protect the home of the pastor. And they called the local Palauan fire company, which was one little truck, came up there, and they got out, and they sat there, and they said, "Guys, there is nothing we can do. We're going to call the Seabees," which is a group that they were there from the U.S. military, that there, and they were kind of come out, and they were going to cut a fire line way out around so the fire would not go any further. But they said, "You're going to lose your school, and you're going to lose the church. And you're not the school, but you're going to lose the pastor's house, not the church, but the school and the home." And so at that time, the student missionaries, along with some people that were there from Guam, they knelt in a circle on the top of that roof. And I've been in Fresno here since the first part of August. It just doesn't rain here. It just doesn't rain. I mean, maybe it rains in the winter, but you get up. I said, "The weathermen here, you could just get up and just say that I could be a weather." You just said the same thing. Next 10 days, hot and dry. And it'd be very easy. It'd be a great job. It'd be a great job to have. But I want you guys to picture. I want you to picture your weather here, okay? Sunny sky. That's what it was like in Palau. They knelt down with flames roaring all through the trees. And they said, "Lord, save our school." As they stood up, a black cloud appears in the sky. It comes over our campus and completely drenches the whole campus, the school, everybody, the firefighters that are standing there. And then the cloud dissipates and the blue sky returns. The firefighters, their mouths drop. The student missionaries' mouths drop because they're praying for it, but in reality, they're like, "I don't know how it's going to happen," to be honest with you. What God did was He performed a miracle that day and showed me as a leader that we serve a living God, that we serve a God who is able to provide all of our needs. And guys, I believe it with all my heart. He, just as He poured out rain to quench the fire in Palau, He is wanting to pour out His Holy Spirit on us today here in Fresno. and on Fresno Adventist Academy for where we're at. If we will unite together, if we'll put aside the petty differences that are keeping us apart and come together in Jesus Christ. If that is your desire, and if that is your prayer this morning, I would invite you to stand with me as we pray for God's blessing this morning. Our Father in heaven, Lord, it's exciting to be living when we're living, Father, to see what is happening in our world and to know that soon, Lord, soon and very soon, you're going to break through the sky and come and take us home. Father, I would ask, Lord, that each one of us here, each one of us, would reconsecrate our lives to you. They'll take a hard look, Father, at our lives, Lord. And I just ask, Lord, that you would pour out your spirit on this church here and on the people that are here, Father, and on our school here, Lord. Pour out your spirit in a mighty way. Help us, Father, to be singularly focused on you and your will. Dismiss us now with your blessing. In your name I pray. Amen.